And I remember the somewhat bewildered, amused, I don't know, wondering look on my teacher's face. And I'll never forget it because this teacher really liked me. But I remember her looking at me and saying, okay, can you explain this a little more? And then when I said, I will have the power to heal people and help them be whatever they want to be with the touch of my wand. I'm Janet Ioli, and you're listening to Power Presence Academy, leadership with less ego and more soul. Join me each week as we talk about the deeper and provocative leadership and personal development topics that drive real change. Slow down, react less, reflect more, and lead with less ego and more soul. Let's go. Had something happen to you that feels like a message or some sort of a signal from the universe about a direction that you're supposed to take or a path you're supposed to take, but you just brush it off and dismiss it as if it's nothing. It's just meaningless. It's that's so silly. Those things are not real. They're not true. And the more you do that and the more you dismiss that message, the more it starts happening more and more frequently, or the signals are louder. It's like this imaginary bat is beating you over the head with a code that you can't quite decipher, but you can feel the painful bumps spreading all over your body from the beating. Like there's something you should be listening to or learning, but you still don't get it. And you just keep on ignoring those signals until the bumps are so raw and so conspicuous that your rational mind just has to pause and figure out, how do I stop this beating? And it could be your health signals. It could be having the same problem over and over again. It can be the host of different things that just keep coming at you and coming at you as, man, what am I supposed to learn here? In this episode, I want to talk about the notion of listening, but listening from a very different vantage point than you'd expect. I talk a lot in many of my episodes and posts that I write about how to be a more effective listener, right? Because that's a skill that is absolutely needed for all of us in everything that we do, but especially in leadership roles. So I'm confident that you are aware by now that your full presence and deep listening has a dramatic impact on your own learning and your interpersonal relationships. I know you know that. Listening to others and paying attention to what is going on around you and paying attention to others deeply is powerful. All right, so we got that. What we don't talk about much is the art of honing listening to yourself. Your own deep wisdom is talking to you all the time. The problem is we have to learn to recognize the voice of our own deep wisdom and not confuse it with all those other voices that have taken us hostage and claim to be you and claim to be your inner wisdom. I'll give you an example from a small part of my own self-listening journey, because I know this is a journey for all of us, is trying to listen to our, tap into our deeper wisdom. But hopefully this will illustrate what I mean. Okay, so I'm going to go way back. And this is a childish, simple example, but I think it hits home of what I'm talking about, the root of what I'm talking about. So when I was in the second grade, my teacher, as I'm sure many of your teachers, right, had everyone in the class draw a picture of what they wanted to be when they grew up. She then said, okay, we want you to stand up and show the drawing to the class and explain what it meant and why you wanted to do that. So I remember going through this exercise and I really thought about it. And I remember John's fireman with the bright red fire hat in the picture. And he talked about saving people from fires. And I remember Clara the nurse who wanted to nurse people in hospital beds. And she drew this little picture of a hospital bed and a thermometer and all of this. I remember this. It's second grade. And I remember this vividly because it was so powerful to me. And I remember even Laura, this girl named Laura in second grade, she had a crown and a robe on in her picture. And she explained how she wanted to be a queen. And while I don't have that many other memories of second grade, the picture I drew and what I said that day stands etched in my mind as if it happened yesterday, because it was so powerful for me. I wanted to be a magic woman. And that's what I drew in second grade. And what was a magic woman? I was standing there holding my magic wand. And then I just had these stars coming out of my head. And I remember the somewhat bewildered, amused, I don't know, wondering look on my teacher's face. And I'll never forget it because this teacher really liked me. But I remember her looking at me and saying, okay, can you explain this a little more? And then when I said, I will have the power to heal people and help them be whatever they want to be with the touch of my wand. When she heard my description, I remember her trying to fit my description into more conventional. I guess she was trying to make it more rational, because magic woman seemed to, even queen worked, right? There are queens in the world. Like in England, there's a queen. But here, it's like, okay. So she said, so a doctor, you want to be someone that helps people get better then, right? And I remember feeling crushed when she said that. And I defiantly shook my head and answered, no, not a doctor. I want to help people be whatever they want to be, not just get over being sick. That was my vision. Now that's clear as day. And I know I was embarrassed in that moment because I remember the shame I felt when she said that. And then later on, I nodded and said, yeah, a doctor. Because I was so embarrassed of how that wasn't a real thing. Yet when I think back on that now, I laugh a little and I'd say, that is a silly description. What is a magic woman in the real world anyway? I, just like my teacher, dismissed it as it was fantasy and that isn't real. And so I started to think more the conventional, rational ways we all do, and contemplate how to make a living in the world and make our way in the world, not as a magic woman. But I obviously had to do something else, right? It's funny. But over the years, every time I did the work that magic woman would do, I felt joy. Leading workshops on leadership and human development, writing, creating, healing, helping people. And every time I strayed away from those things, climbing the corporate ladder, focusing on my title and getting ahead and focusing on the next promotion and status, boy, would I get beaten by that bat so badly that my body would actually become physically ill. That bat, the messages from the universe. And I'd manifest some sort of a physical illness. I'd get headaches. I'd get breathing problems. I would get anxiety. I'd feel overwhelmed all the time. My energy would be sapped. And it was like there was this message saying, listen, you are straying from this. You are straying from yourself. And even when I started my own business, when I thought I was getting closer to this, I didn't listen. I didn't listen to these messages. I hired an expensive marketing strategist to convince me to do what everybody else is doing. Create your image. Change your website colors. Make sure they're very powerful. You need to look powerful. Give people short lists of things because their attention span are short. And also, don't get too deep, because people aren't too deep. They don't understand these ethereal messages. Grow your email list. And just blast people with ads. That's what she told me. Okay. Give people what they want. Made sense. But guess what? That isn't what the magic woman would do. It was that second grade teacher all over again, telling me what I wanted to be was a doctor, when that wasn't it at all. And that wasn't what was going to help people in the world, at least in my vantage point and what I was there to serve. So what did I do? I took some time off and I sat with myself and I began to deeply listen. I took long walks in nature. I spent hours staring at the ocean and watching the pelicans dance in unison over my head. I don't drink, but I became drunk on the bubbles the waves spouted as they crashed on the rocks, engulfing the cliffs. Seriously, I felt like I was in a stupor. And I realized that I had not been fully listening to the wisdom already available to me if I would just stop hard enough and long enough to hear it. I'm not a person here to provide 10 tips on how to be a better leader or to provide, quote, coaching tips. What I'm here to do is to help people look inside themselves and find gold, find magic. So I want to leave you with this today in this episode. What about you? What do you need to listen to? What messages from deep within you are you ignoring? What is your body? And what are your physical symptoms trying to tell you? If only you would step back and pay attention to them. Because the body is very wise and it holds so much wisdom. And what voice are you drowning out? What voice are you allowing in instead? Whose voice? Listening to yourself takes courage because sometimes you may not like what you hear. Just like I didn't like hearing that, hey, no, Janet, your path is not the conventional one. It's different. Your help with leaders is different than just giving 3 or 4 tips on how to be better. It's helping them look inside themselves and really transform. But that's when the magic happens. So I hope you have a magical rest of the week. And then you start looking for the magic. See you next time. Thanks for listening. And always remember this. Every single moment, you have a choice in what you say, what you do, and how you make people feel. Pause and make those choices wisely and intentionally. Because every single moment, those choices are who you become as a leader. See you next time.